Before the next program begins, the BBC would like to warn listeners of a psychotic nervous character. A psychotic nervous character has escaped from Broadhampton, and police say he should not be approached under any circumstances. Oh, dear. Roy, just in time. What's wrong? You look as though you've seen a ghost.
Worse than that, Tarquin, my old son. I've just been having a flying lesson with an old mate of mine. One of them two-seater open cockpit jobs.
Yes?
Do you know what he did, the idiot? He turned it over and we were flying upside down.
Did you fall out?
Oh, no, we've been mates for years.
Yes, well, I think we'll get on with it, shall we?
Very wise.
Radio 2 is as happy as a termite in a clog factory to bring you Hoodwinks, starring Roy Hudd with Denise Coffey, Chris Emmett, Fred Harris and David Goodison. This week...
The Dead Walk at Midnight.
It was a black night. Blacker than the thighs of a housewife who had no money to pay the Coleman. So what was I doing out here? Helplessly lost and driving blindly around the narrow arteries of the North Yorkshire moors on this black night. My name's Hackett, Crichton Hackett, and I'm on an assignment. I'm an investigative journalist with The Shun, a popular daily tabloid which bears the motto, Truth Before Hypocrisy, a motto strictly observed by our editor, General Sir Bernard Napoleon Bonaparte VII. Was it only this morning that I sat in the deputy editor's office? He was in charge while the editor had gone to a health farm to tone up the muscles in his brain.
Tell me, Crichton, do you believe in the supernatural?
Supernatural? Well, like everyone else, I do believe that Edwina Curry is not of this world. If that's what you mean?
No, 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 Crichton. I'm talking about spooks. Have you seen this small piece in the North Yorkshire Health?
Yeah, she'd never get on our page three, would she?
Not there, lad, not there. Here, look, this article.
Article?
Seems that a young American girl who inherited her uncle's old manor house on the moors has been witnessing some strange, almost uncanny phenomenon.
For instance?
Well, one day she rang up the plumber, who said he'd be at the house at 9 o'clock the next morning.
And?
And he was.
I don't believe it.
That's what this woman claims.
And you believe it?
I believe anything that sells papers, Crichton. Look, I've booked you a room at the Heathcliff Tavern, so get up there, sniff around, see if there's any story, okay?
Will do, Sid.
Oh, and Crichton.
Yes?
Remember, this girl's uncle has just died, so she's going through a traumatic period. You know, she's desperately upset. She's probably in a deep state of shock, so go easy on her.
You mean?
Yeah, if she doesn't want to pose for a topless photo, lay off till after the funeral, all right?
Ah, thank you, Miss Goddard. A splendid dinner.
Oh, don't thank me, Mr. Pettifog. Thank old Shergar the butler here.
Shergar?
That's right, sir. I was born by Cesarewitch. My mother was 2 hours under chloroform having me, sir.
Yeah, that'll be all. Thank you, Shergar.
Yes, ma'am. Cheese and biscuits, ma'am. A tasty selection of the cheese board. Care to finish with a morsel of red leicester?
No, thank you. You were saying, Mr. Pettifog...
Miss Goddard, as your late uncle's solicitor, I urge you to take my advice.
Care
and
to
do
finish
exact...
with a morsel of red leicester, sir?
No, thank you. Now, Miss Goddard, for your own safety, you must leave this house and return to America.
Mr. Pettifog, my uncle left me this house and I fully intend
perhaps
to...
Perhaps a slice of cheddar then.
No, thank you, Shergar. I fully intend to stay right here in this house.
Miss Goddard, I tell you, this house has been cursed by the devil and woe betide anyone...
Perhaps a slice of cheddar then.
What?
Perhaps a slice of cheddar then, sir.
No, thank you. Not now.
Not now.
And an indefinable sense of evil permeates the room, every room.
Really, Mr. Pettifog, do I appear to be the kind of person who...
There may be a mouthful of Wensleydale.
No, thank you, Shergar. The kind of person who believes in ghosts?
You may scoff, Miss Goddard, but when you hear the gargled moan of the walking dead pierce the silent watches of the night...
There may be a mouthful of Wensleydale.
Look, I don't want anything. Now, please don't interrupt.
All right.
Now, if you'll sign the house over to me, Miss Goddard, I'll see to it that all
this house is my inheritance, Mr. Pettifog, and I repeat, I intend
perhaps a nibble of Gorgonzola, then.
No, thank you, Shergar. I intend to live here regardless of the so-called danger.
So be it, Miss Goddard, but heed my words. Heed my words. A night or two in this... Yes, what is it now?
Perhaps a nibble of Gorgonzola, then, sir.
Look, are you deaf? I don't want any cheese. I hate cheese. I dislike, loathe, detest, and abominate cheese. I wouldn't eat cheese if you paid me. So I'm telling you for the last time, cloth ears, I don't want any cheese. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. Just the biscuits on their own, then.
The welcoming sight of a cheery yellow glow jolted me out of my daydream. It was the Heathcliff Tavern.
Give us another pint, will you, Mr. Wilkes?
Hey, well, side me posser and scour me wassex me donkey stone. Happen thine sup some stuff to neat, Jonas.
Yeah.
It was one of those traditional North Country inns untouched by the 20th century. Horse brasses, oak beams, stone floor, and a quaint log-burning jukebox in the corner. The name's Hackett, landlord. I have a room booked.
Been expecting thee, sir. Hey, wouldst you relish a drink before thee goes up to the room?
Oh, yes, I'll have a large scotch, I think.
What about a bit of supper, sir?
Good idea. Make it two large scotches.
Won't be a tick, sir.
Hello, handsome. Got a light, hmm?
Well, of course, darling. Yes, here you are.
Thanks. You fancy buying a girl a port and lemon, Well, you see, it's like this, handsome. Port and lemon loosens me up, know what I mean? It makes a girl feel sexy.
Here's your scotch, sir.
And a pint of port and lemon, landlord, please.
I say, that's big of you, honey. I'll catch up with you later,
It's a date, darling.
Your room will be ready in a few minutes, sir.
Oh, thanks. You know, landlord, you northern people are nothing like the primitive barbarians we southerners are led to believe.
Oh, no, not at all, sir, no. It's just a myth.
When will my room be ready, you say?
Just as soon as we've emptied coal out of bath, sir. Won't be long. You're with the Shun, then, are you, sir?
Investigative journalist.
Oh, happen it's not your ear to expose our vicar, are you, sir?
Vicar?
Disgrace to the cloth he is, sir. Folk round here reckon he shouldn't ought to be a vicar, things he gets up to. Church of England condones it and calls it progress, but I calls it scandalous way he carries on.
Why, what does he do?
Well, you should know, sir. You just bought him a port and lemon. Oh.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm not here to investigate the vicar. No, my job is to find out what's going on up at Macabre Manor. What's wrong?
Oh, I wouldn't mention that in here if I were you, sir. You see, it unnerves the locals and puts the fear of the unknown into each and every man jack of them.
What? Macabre Manor?
No, sir. The word job. Oh, duty calls. Excuse me a minute, sir.
Shiver, lad. Did I hear thee mention that job up to yon Macabre Manor?
That's right, yeah. Do you know it?
They'll never get past front door, and that's a fact.
What?
Yeah, old master hated reporters, you know. And I hear tell so does his niece. There's only one way they'll get into yon manor.
And how's that?
Well, rumour has it, new mistress is seeking service of exorcists to expel evil spirits from living in house.
You're saying if I pose as an exorcist,
she'll welcome me with open arms.
Interesting. But to look the part, wouldn't I need a fair amount of tackle?
She's looking for exorcist lad, not an husband.
Oh.
No, see. Tackle, yes. Well, you need just three things to deal with ghoulish walking dead disciples at devil, son. You need a string of garlic to knock them out.
String of garlic?
A wooden stake to drive through their hearts.
Wooden stake?
And a bucket.
What's the bucket for?
Well, that's for thee. In case garlic and stake don't work.
That night, I couldn't sleep. There was an eerie feeling about this place, and I didn't relish a visitation from the unnatural. So to settle my nerves, I slid a large wardrobe and a heavy sideboard behind the door. Yes, I thought, let's see the vicar get through that lot if he can. Next day, I drove up to the manor, and it was right where the landlord had said, in between the graveyard and the old abandoned lunatic asylum.
Yes?
Crichton Hackett, well-known exorcist.
Oh.
What?
We were expecting MFI to come back and put this door right. Come in, sir.
Well, this is a magnificent old place.
Thank you, sir. It was built in the 14th century to house the overspill from the lunatic asylum. Of course, that was in the days before they put them into the audience of Tarby's frame game.
Can I see your mistress?
This way, sir. She's in the library. A visitor, madam.
Oh, show him in, Shergar.
Jane Goddard, the new mistress of Macabre Manor, was in her mid-twenties. Tall, blonde, richly elegant, and her body had all the curves in all the right places. Well, that's what it says here. She walked over to greet me, and as she opened her luscious lips to speak, I could have been arrested for what I was thinking.
I'm Jane Goddard. How do you do?
Hello. My name's Cadbury's Flake. I mean, Crichton Hackett, and I'm here to...
Oh, don't tell me, Mr. Hackett. You're from the Shun, aren't you?
How can you tell?
When you remove your tape measure from my chest, I'll tell you.
Sorry, journalistic license, you understand.
Oh. Shall I bring coffee, madam?
Thank you, Shergar, yes.
Very good, madam.
And a small morsel of red Leicester, if you...
You made him very, very happy, Mr. Hackett. I was just categorizing my late uncle's collection of first editions. Do you read much, Mr. Hackett?
Well, no, to be honest, no. I think libraries are boring. They're full of nothing but books, are they, you know? Look, I'm sorry for the intrusion, but...
No intrusion, Mr. Hackett. In fact, I'm glad you're here. Surely you don't believe in the dead coming back to haunt us?
Well, I don't know. But if there is life after death, then... I'd like to come back as something that bristles with excitement as it explores the alluring regions of man's desire.
Oh, you mean...
Yes, I'd like to come back as Omar Sharif's moustache.
Now... Coffee, madam.
Thank you, Shergar. Oh, Shergar?
Yes, madam?
What's your opinion of unexplainable phenomena?
You mean, what's Giles Brandreth doing in show business?
She means, have you ever witnessed any unexplainable phenomena?
Oh, I see. Yes, I have, sir. It was a freezing black night. I was on my way back from the tavern. The roads were thick with ice, and there was a hint of snow in the air when all of a sudden I saw this council grit cart.
Well?
Well, I saw this council grit cart.
No, I mean in this house.
Oh, I see, madam. Yes, just the once. I was upstairs in the butler's toilet trying to read the Shun when all...
You were trying to read the Shun?
It's not easy when it's being cut up into little squares. When all of a sudden I hears this detached and booming voice. There's only thee and me, it says. There's only thee and me.
Hmm.
So I says, when I get me trousers up, there'll only be thee. I tell you, sir, I got out pretty sharp.
Yes, I bet you did. Now, Miss Goddard, what, are you all right?
Well, I'm sorry, I don't know. It's just, well, it's incredible, but somewhere in the deepest crevice of my subconscious, I feel as if I've heard that story before. Do you think it was ESP Insight?
No, dear, it was Frank Randall in 1936. Now, Miss Goddard, have you ever experienced anything unexplainable in this house.
Well...
Yes?
Well, it's probably nothing, but the first night I arrived, I was undressing in my bedroom, and just for a split second, I thought I saw this wrinkled old face looking at me through the window.
Well, if there's nothing else, madam, I'll get breakfast.
Wait.
Yes, sir?
Sugar. Can you think of a reason why anyone would want Miss Goddard to leave this house?
No, I can't, sir. Unless...
Unless?
Unless it's someone who wants to get their hands on the treasure.
Treasure?
Yes, ma'am. Rumor has it your uncle secreted a hoard of treasure somewhere within these four walls.
But where?
No idea, ma'am. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to get the stepladder into the hall and dust the cobwebs off the moose's head.
Hey, wait,
can we just hold it a moment there, Rye, baby?
Oh, God.
Producer, yes. What a shame.
Producer. Yes, Jonathan, dear? What's wrong?
Well, I'm just a teeny-weeny...
I know you are, Jonathan, but...
A teeny-weeny bit uneasy about the storyline plot structure, darling.
Oh, plot structure? No, she's even got an allotment, dear.
Silly cow. I thought it was perfectly all right.
Well, it is, but you know, young heiress, haunted house, hidden treasure, and now a moose's head on the wall. I mean, a moose's head.
Oh, all right, Ginger Knob, I agree. But I'll need a few minutes to rewrite the plot.
Well, that's fine.
Steven Spielberg. What about that, eh? The entire plot altered and rewritten.
Oh.
Eh? Instead of a moose's head on the wall...
Yes.
It's now a tiger's head. Miss Goddard invited me on a tour of the rambling house. We started in the kitchens, and my first impression was one of being inside a large rabbit warren.
Oh, dear.
What?
I'm sorry, Shergar forgot to sweep up those currants he spilt on the floor.
On the half-landing, we paused near a large sporting picture of a huntsman captured in oils as he proudly displays the results of a successful day's hunt. The dog-savage carcass of an animal rights protester. Your uncle?
That's Uncle Seth, yes. And, you know, something is odd. But sometimes the eyes look so real, it's almost as if they belong to someone standing behind the picture.
Yes, and the nose is quite lifelike as well, don't you think? Miss Goddard and I spent the rest of the day poking into every nook and cranny. And I'm glad that sentence didn't have any punctuation mistakes.
Satisfied, Mr. Hackett? No ghosts, no ghouls, no grisly demons that feed on the rotting flesh of the dead. In fact, there's not an ounce of truth in the rumors at all.
Oh, well, I suppose I can sell the story to the Daily Express.
It's getting dark, sir. There's a devilish storm brewing.
You'd best be on your way, Mr. Hackett. If that storm brings the old bridge down, you'll never get back to the village tonight.
All right, I'll be off then, and thank you, Miss Goddard. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Hackett. Somehow I don't think we've seen the last of Mr. Hackett, Shergar.
Shall I serve dinner now, ma'am?
Yes, please, Shergar. Oh, Mr. Hackett?
Sorry about this, Miss Goddard, but I can't seem to get my car started.
You drive a Skoda, don't you?
Yes.
I knew we hadn't seen the last of you.
I'll sell it in the garage, sir. Oh, that's odd. The phone's completely dead. It must be the storm.
Never mind, I'll walk back to the village.
Oh, now the lights are fused.
Hey! I can't see a thing. Who turned the power off?
Don't worry, sir. It's probably the electricity board practicing for privatization.
It's so dark, I can't see a thing.
Oh, hang on. I think there's a candle somewhere in these drawers here.
Oh!
Oh, sorry, ma'am. Wrong door.
Quiet, listen.
Oh! Yeah. Hello there. Anybody about?
Oh, it's you, Constable Clegg.
Oh, by what a storm. I'm fair soaked at skin. I'm wetter than washhouse wallpaper. I really am. Now then...
Constable, do you think it's necessary to bang like a man possessed?
Well, I think it's all right on your honeymoon, you know, but after that, the novelty starts to wear off.
What do you want, Constable?
Well, I'm just out warning local residents to watch out for Mad Jack McGuffin, the bestial homicidal maniac who escaped from sanatorium on Moors, and he's heading in this direction with a butcher's cleaver in his hand and bloody revenge in his black heart.
Revenge?
Ah, he always does this when Bradford get beat at home. He's a poor loser, is Mad Jack.
Well,
you know.
Thank goodness you're here to protect us, Constable.
Yeah, I'll not be staying, Mama. I wish I could, but I'm needed over at Widow Parker's cottage. She's on her own, you see, and she hates having to go to bed with a candle.
Oh, her electric's off as well, is it?
No, I don't think so. Right, well, I'll be off.
You'll let us know if you catch Mad Jack.
Oh, we'll catch him all right, Mum. I'll be round it morning with details.
And if you don't catch him?
Then I'll be round it morning with Undertaker. Good night, all.
The door closed, and for the second time in my life, I felt the breathless pangs of claustrophobia. A crushed feeling of being hemmed in with no room to move. The first time was when I got locked in an empty aircraft hangar with Claire Rayner. That's another story. A storm intensified and the old creaking timbers made the place sound like the House of Lords aerobics club on a damp Wednesday. Miss Goddard went down into the cellar to look for the fuses.
What the devil's that?
I'll name that tune in three.
No, I meant who's playing the organ in the cellar, sir.
Well, it'll be Miss Goddard, won't it?
The mistress doesn't play the organ, Mr. Hackett. She's tone deaf with no sense of rhythm. What?
There's a Linda McCartney joke here somewhere, but I just can't think.
No, sir. It sounded like the frenzied playing of a frustrated soul, staggering its lonely way through the wilderness of futility.
In that case, maybe there's a Neil Kinnock joke somewhere.
Come on, sir, let's investigate, shall we?
Gingerly, the two of us crept along the gloomy hallway, with me nearly in front, just behind Shergar. It's uncanny, isn't it? Uncanny how in the near darkness, the imagination runs awry, and ordinary everyday objects distort into grotesque and evil shapes. For instance, as we neared the cellar door, I could have sworn that an innocent statue of Quavius, the Roman god of wealth, with the hairy body of a dwarf and the head of a gargoyle, was Andrew Lloyd Webber with no clothes on.
Mr. Hackett.
What?
Watch out for the statue of Andrew Lloyd Webber with no clothes on.
Oh, right. With hearts pounding and eyes agog, we descended the steps into a solid blackness. A blackness you could almost wrap up and give to Vincent Price as a Christmas present. The music came from the old medieval padded cell. I peered through the observation hole, and the scene that met my eyes was one of indescribable horror. Sitting at the organ was a faceless ghoul wearing the black habit of the devil incarnate. Then I saw Miss Goddard. Half naked she was. Chained to a marble slab. Directly above her limp frame and suspended by a thin glass rod was a heavy iron spike so sharp it could penetrate a frozen Yorkie bar that's been wrapped in steel and buried in concrete.
What?
Well, I've had a long day. I let Shergar look through the hole, and he immediately did something I wish I'd have thought of first. He fainted. I had to act to save Miss Goddard, so in a wild frenzy I started to batter the door with all the strength I could muster.
So, we have company. I'll ask you one more time, Miss Goddard. Will you sign this house over to me?
Never, Mr. Pettifog, never. And besides, your conveyancing fees are outrageous.
Very well, my dear. If I cannot have this house, then neither can you.
What are you going to do, you monster?
This glass rod holding the spike is designed to shatter at a certain musical pitch, the last note of the B major scale. And when it shatters, the spike will penetrate your heart.
Do you know you can get struck off for this?
Yes, but there's no time to play it now. Prepare to die, Miss Goddard.
Mr. Hackett!
You blackguard, wait till I get my hands on... I lunged forward toward Pettifog, but this was not my lucky day, because I tripped over 13 black cats that scurried across the floor.
Aha, you meddling fool! And now to press the final note!
No!
Pettifog!
What the...
A huge of a man filled the doorframe. He had fire in his eyes, fire in his nostrils, and foam around his mouth. Obviously to try and put the fire out, I suppose. Then I saw the butcher's cleaver, and I realized it was the escaped maniac, Mad Jack McGuffey.
Mad Jack? What are you doing here?
I'm here for my revenge, Pettifog. 10 years I spent in that stinking prison because of you.
Yeah.
10 years to plan and devise a way of killing you.
Yeah.
And finally this morning it came to me in a flash. I suddenly figured out that if I chopped your head off, that should do the trick.
Now, wait, Mad Jack, wait. Now, let's be fair about this. You came to me for financial advice, and when I advised you to murder your parents for the insurance money, I was only acting in your best interest.
Shut up, man, and keep your neck still.
Grab him.
Constable Clem.
Come on, Mad Jack. Come on, Mad Jack, it's way past your bedtime.
Oh, can't I stay up for another 5 minutes just to chop this man's head off?
No, you can't. All right, lads, take him away.
Oh, yes.
Well done, Constable, well done.
Yeah.
I'll be off then.
Not so fast, Pettifog. I'm arresting you for attempted murder. And no doubt lots of other charges as well. Come on.
More tea, Mr. Hackett?
Thank you, Miss Goddard.
Oh, well, all the loose ends are neatly tied up, thank goodness.
Not quite, Miss Goddard. What about the hidden treasure?
Oh, Shergar found the treasure, hidden inside the organ 40 years ago.
Well, what is it?
You remember I told you my uncle was obsessed with collecting first editions?
Oh, books, yes.
Here, what do you think these are worth?
Well, I'm no expert on the subject, of course, but in my opinion, first edition Russian books aren't worth a light. Clothing, sweets, dairy products?
Oh, okay, well, I'll hang on to them in case the liberals ever get in power. Sure, Guy, what's the matter? You look as if you've seen a ghost.
Oh, worse than that, Mum. I nearly died of fright.
Well, what is it?
You know that Moses head in the hallway?
Yeah.
Well, blow me if it hasn't somehow changed into a tiger's head.
You have been listening to Hudwink's House of Horror, starring Roy Hudd with Denise Coffey, Chris Emmett, Fred Harris, and David Goodison. The script was written by Edgar Allan Rowley, and the show was produced by the BBC's master of mystery and suspense,
Jonathan James Moore.